Howdy, welcome back to our Thursday morning Tehillim class. Hope all is well. I guess I'm still in a Tuesday state of mind, not a Thursday state of mind, but the weekend will quickly be upon us, so I better get into a Thursday state of mind quickly. Hope everyone is doing really well this week, and look forward to studying again as always on Thursday mornings. We are studying this morning chapter 38 of Tehillim as we continue through our study of the book of Tehillim. And this morning's chapter is somewhat unfamiliar to us. It doesn't appear anywhere in actual davening. And yet, as we'll study it together, hopefully you'll see how incredibly relevant it is for so many of us. So again, we're studying chapter 38 of Tehillim as we progress through our studies of Tehillim. And just a word of note is that we will not be meeting next week. We will be off next week. The Friday class will be on next week, but the Thursday class will not be on next week. So there will be no Tehillim next week. We will be doing our Parsha as usual next week as well. And so again, I look forward to seeing you back here in 2 weeks. You'll notice my background. That's because I'm welcoming everyone to Boca Raton, the many visitors who are coming over the next couple of days. This is usually when I feel like a scholar in residence in my own shul. Hopefully it'll be a little different this year. But anyways, it's nice to welcome all these familiar faces from out of town. Okay, so chapter 38 of Tehillim is essentially split into five parts. And before I get into the five parts, I want to discuss the major theme. And the major theme is a description of illness. It's a description of enemies who are pounding upon the opportunities that is created because of the illness. And we'll see what I'm talking about in just a second. And then ultimately, it is David HaMelech, or the narrator, taking responsibility for his sins. So that is basically, if I had to describe the three major themes in a nutshell, that would be the three major themes in a nutshell. Again, a description of illness, a description of the enemies, right? How do enemies pounce upon the opportunities that are created with illness? And lastly is the narrator, David HaMelech here, taking responsibility for his sins. Now this chapter of Tehillim is broken up into five parts. Part number one is Psukim 2 through 8. Of course, verse number 1 is the introduction. 2 through 8 is describing a sickness, all likelihood a sickness of David HaMelech, but it's a sickness and the terrible suffering that is caused as a result of that sickness. 9 through 13, Tet through Yud Gimel, is a state of loneliness that David HaMelech describes based on those who have abandoned him. Third section is 14 through 16, which is a quietness and a hope for the future. 17 through 21 is description of fear of the enemies that are closing in around him. And lastly is Psukim 22 and 23, which is a supplication. It is a tefillah from David HaMelech to Hashem. So those are essentially the five sections. One of the things we have to figure out as we study any chapter of Tehillim is, what are we talking about? Who is it addressed to? And how does the chapter as a whole blend itself together? And so here we have to figure out what exact illness is David HaMelech talking about. But really, even though I said there are five sections, it's really two disjointed parts to this chapter, which is a description of the illness and a description of enemies. And what we have to do is figure out how those two blend together. What does one have to do with the other? What is the fact that there's an illness, a sickness, have to do with the fact that the enemies are closing in around David HaMelech? What are we talking about here? Is this metaphoric? Is this real? Let's jump right in. Pasuk Aleph, Mizmor LeDavid LeHazkir, right? A song of David, LeHazkir. What does the word LeHazkir mean? We have not seen that term to this point in any of our studies of Tehillim. What does LeHazkir mean? So LeHazkir is somewhat of a strange word. It means like to remind. This isn't a song, right? Some of David HaMelech's psalms are songs. Some of them are tefillot, right? Tefillah LeDavid. But this is different. This is LeHazkir. This is David HaMelech wants to remind us about something. And the question is, what exactly does he want to remind us about? So we have to figure that out as we go through it. Adonai al beketzbecha tochicheni. David HaMelech says, Hashem, don't punish me in your wrath. Don't chastise me in your fury. In other words, Hashem, in your anger towards me, don't torment me because of my distress. Ki chitzecha nichasu bi vatinchas alai yadecha. Why is David HaMelech so fearful? Because ki chitzecha, because your arrows are shooting at me, they're striking me. Vatinchas alai yadecha, and your hand has fallen upon me, right? Picture someone with like a fist. And David HaMelech feels the fiery fury of Hashem, clearly angry and upset about something. Pasuk Dalet. David HaMelech says that so profoundly is he affected by this fury, this rage of God, that ein misom bibsari mibnei zamecha, that there is no place on my flesh that is untouched because of your anger. Ein shalom ba'atzamai bimnei chatasi. And because of my sins, there is no peace. There is no, right, shalom here can mean peace, like serenity, tranquility, or it can mean like a sense of wholeness. That there's no wholeness. I feel incomplete, so to speak, because of my sins. Ki avonosai avru roshi. Because what happened, says David HaMelech, right? Ki avonosai avru roshi. Because my sins have come over my head, which is a nice way of saying they have overwhelmed me. Kimasa kabed yichbedu mimeni. They are like a heavy burden that I cannot bear anymore. Right? When we do something wrong, so there are two elements to our iniquity. Element number one is the actual sin. But then we have to bear the sin with us. If you think about it, it's one of the greatest things that Hashem does for us. And it's called tshuva. It's called Rosh Hashanah and it's called Yom Kippur. If you think about how incredible that is, that Hashem gives us the opportunity to unburden ourselves of our sins, to not have to carry around the weight of that with us all day long, but to be able to do teshuva, to be able to admit our sins, and therefore to be able to unburden ourselves from everything that we did wrong, that, says David HaMelech, is an amazing gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've discussed elsewhere in Tehillim, one of really the most profound psukim we've studied together, where we say, Pitachta sakhi v'tazreini simcha. David HaMelech says, open up my sack and allow me to experience happiness. Right? Sakhi means a burden. It means like a heavy baggage that you're carrying around with you. And we say to Hashem, Pitachta sakhi, Hashem, release me of this burden. Release me of this weight that I'm carrying on my shoulders, acknowledging my past indiscretions and my past sins, because kimasa chaved yichbedu mimeni. Because the burden is too heavy to bear. And then v'tazreini simcha, Hashem, when you allow me to do that, when you allow me to unburden myself, then I can experience that sense of happiness, that sense of joy. So that's what David HaMelech is saying here, right? Kimasach habedich bedumimeni, that the weight of my sins is overwhelming to me. Mitzvah David here has a really powerful imagery of what does this mean? Avru roshi. Right? That my sins are avru roshi, which I translated as like they're passing over, which means they're overwhelming me. But listen to what Mitzudas David writes. He says, Himshil marbis ha'avon, the parable, the imagery of this abundance of sin, ki luba b'mayim amukim v'ovrim es harosh mimal. It's as if you're in deep waters and your head is bopping up, you're gasping for air. And so picture someone who's in this tumultuous sea, waters raging all around him, he's being sucked into the water, and his head is peeking up on top, and he's gasping for that breath of air. He says, Hashem, that's how I feel. Hashem, I can barely stay alive, I can barely keep my head above water, I'm drowning around me with so much pain and suffering and sorrow and illness. Hashem, please save me. And as we referenced last week in the beautiful insight by the Baal Shem Tov, of that's why so many Jews shuckle, because the imagery of someone who's drowning in the ocean, he's flailing back and forth as a description of calling out to Hashem. That, says David HaMelech, is the exact same imagery here. Ki avonosai avru roshi, right? It's weighing me down so much that only my head is sticking up above the water, but I'm drowning here, Hashem. I'm drowning in the pain and suffering of the world around me, and of course, therefore, I'm calling out to you as well. Pasuk 6, Hivishu namaku chaburosai, right? Just to show you how tormented I am because of my sins. So hiv ishu namaku chaburosai, which is a nice way of saying that if you've ever been around a wound that has not been treated properly, what will you know about that wound? It starts to smell after a little bit of time, right? Bad wounds, blood that's dried up, so it starts to have a putrid smell to it. David HaMelech says, that's how pierced I am. That's how wounded I am because of my sins, that they're starting to smell, right? Mipnei ev ivalti, because of my ivalti here means like my silliness, right? Matsudas David writes, Avonosai ke'in adam over avera elam ke'nichnas bo ruach shtus. Now, it's my silliness, my stupidity, right? It's my stupidity. Now, what do you notice immediately from the description of David HaMelech? Right, there's an illness here, and we have to identify that illness. We haven't done that yet, okay? But what is David HaMelech doing with that? So he is acknowledging and admitting his sins. He is accepting upon himself the responsibility that perhaps he caused all of this to happen to him, which we'll come back to, but it's an amazing acknowledgement, something that many people don't have the courage to do. He says in Pasuk 7, Na'avisi shachosi ad ma'od, Kol hayom koder hilachti. He says in Pasuk 7 that I'm bent, right? Navisi, shachosi ad ma'od. I'm bent down. Basically, I'm humbled about it. Kol hayom koder hilachti. All day long, says Mitzudas David, ve'ilech becheshkas hatzaras. I walk in the darkness of my actions, right? There's this gloominess that pervades David HaMelech, almost this depression, because he's drawing a connection between his actions and the consequences of those actions. That he says it's my sins that have ultimately caused the illness that is overwhelming me so much so that I feel like I'm drowning, and so much so that I feel that I have no path out of it. Pasuk 8, the last pasuk of this first section, Ki kisalai malu nikle, because my innards are full of fever, I'm raging with a fever. Ve'ein misom bibsari, and there is no peace. There's no completeness to my body. In other words, I'm pierced so much all around me that I'm a wounded soldier, says David HaMelech. And so far, we finished section number one of our five sections of this chapter. And as you saw, it's a description of illness, right? It's a description of terrible suffering, of this weariness and this gloominess. Now, you don't know if it's a physical illness, if it's a psychological illness. You don't know what the illness is referring to yet, but clearly something is tormenting David HaMelech and it's dragging him down, and we have to figure out what that is. Now we come to section number two, where David HaMelech says, Nefugo si, v'nidkesi ad ma'od. Right? Nefugo si, says the Radak, means rifayon v'chalishus. I am weakened. Shagasi, he says. I'm sorry, Casey is, I'm crushed because of all of this. Shagti minamas libi. Shagti, says the Radak, means bikoli v'tzakasi mirov namas libi. Because of the pain in my heart, I'm crying out to you, right? Shagi, arye shag. A lion roars, right? It's this passionate, visceral type of crying out. So David HaMelech says, Shagasi, I'm roaring out, I'm crying out to you, Hashem. Why? Because of Minahamas Libi, because of everything that is taking place within me, because of all of this illness and all of this sickness. And so therefore he turns to Hashem and he says, Adonai. I just lost my place, sorry. He says, Adonai negdecha kol ta'avasi, Hashem, before you are all of my desires. Va'anchasi mimcha lo nistara. And my anchasi, my groaning, my moaning, that which is causing me pain, that is lo nistara. That is not hidden from you, Hashem. Says the Malbim, this in the last pasuk, are a powerful description of a person as he's transitioning from this world to the next world, as a person who is transitioning from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. That is how the Malbim reads this entire chapter. He says, Mitzayer es atzmo ki'ilu higia at shari mavis v'goses v'nafsho muchenes latzeis. Right, a person is a goses. He's literally on death's door. He's at the point of transition from this world to the next world. V'derech achai shebarega tzeis nafsho. He says, it's only natural that as a person's soul is about to depart from this world, as yit asvu kol kochos hagviya el alev shuhames ba'acharona, right? You get one last burst of energy. You get one last pickup of strength that a person experiences at the end. V'az halev mukaf mikol anshe achayel v'chochos hagviya v'dome kener asher yislahev shenis terav idacha. If you ever see a candle before it is about to extinguish, what happens to that candle? So at that last moment, it burns brightly right before it goes out. Says the Malbim, Pasuk 9, Pasuk 10, that is what we are referring to here. He says that sudden burst of energy at that last moment. And what happens at that sudden burst? Really very vivid imagery from the Malbim. But he says, "Va'az yavru lefanav kivnei maron kol inyanei chayav ha'avar im ha'asid." Right, kivnei maron. We know that because that's the imagery that's used to describe what us coming before Hashem as we are coming for judgment on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we come before Hashem. Says the Gemara, "Kivnei maron." We're like the kivnei maron. So the Malbim here employs that terminology. And he says that az yavru lefanav kivnei marom, that what passes before a person at that last moment of their life, kol inyanai chayav hayavari masid, everything that happened, everything, your entire life, passes before your eyes. And so this pasuk, says the Malbim, is the person at the entrance to his new life, preparing for that transition, when there's a surge of energy at that last moment in time. I want to share with you an idea from the Me'a Shiloach. Again, this comes from this sefer that I have on Tehillim, where he says here the following, right? Again, it says, Hashem negdecha kol ta'avasi, all of my desires are in front of you, v'anchasi mimcha lo nistara, and my groaning, my moaning, my sorrows are also before, they're not hidden before you. Says the Me'a Shiloach, Ish b'tzarebi, he says, "Af shekol ataivo sheyavo la'adam heim neged Hashem yisbarach shero osam." Even though all our desires for earthly material matters are against the ratzon of Hashem, "Ach gam ha'anacha shemeorer ba'eis shechosev drachav la'shuv la'Hashem yisbarach, gam zos lo nistar me'Hashem yisbarach, uvizeh mitaken umerapei asakodem." Right, there are two things that are before Hashem. One is the fact that our desires have separated us from Hashem, that our earthly pursuits, right, the fact that we allow our guf to overwhelm our neshama and to further entrench us in this world, so that's before Hashem. But you know what else is before Hashem? Ha'anacha, the pain that we feel at that moment of realization, that moment of clarity, where we say, I got it all wrong in this world. I spent my time on frivolous pursuits and frivolous activities instead of chasing my relationship with you, Hashem. So we should never forget, says the Me'a Shiloach, that yes, essentially, our mistakes and our shortcomings and our misplaced priorities and our misplaced pursuits, 100% every single one of us, those is before Hashem. And you and I are going to have to take accounting for it. But, says the Me'a Shiloach, you know what else is before Hashem? The suffering that I feel as a result of it, that recognition that I made a mistake, that at the end of life, oftentimes you'll speak to people and they'll lament missed opportunities and misplaced priorities. Says the Me'a Shiloach, don't think for a second that Hashem doesn't also hear that and that Hashem also doesn't see that. Just as Hashem sees our mistakes, so too He sees our teshuvah. So too He sees the inner turmoil that's caused because of our mistakes. I thought that was a beautiful reading of this pasuk, he says, right? It's our moaning, it's our lamenting our mistakes, which actually serves as teshuva. That is the tshuva for all of our misplaced priorities, for all of our searching and yearning, for all of the wrong things in this world. Okay, pasuk 11. Pasuk 11. Second. Okay. Pasuk 11, we say, Libi sacharchar, azavani kochim. Libi sacharchar, my heart is like roiling. It's in pain. It's suffering. It's reeling. Azavani kochi, but my strength is failing me. Ve'or einai gamheim ein iti. My eyes have lost that energy as well. Right again, David HaMelech is describing this weakness that this loneliness as a result of his actions. And then he says, it's not just that I'm feeling it, but there's a loneliness as well. And anyone who's ever been through difficulty, anyone who's ever been through illness, anyone who's ever seen someone go through illness, they know that just as painful as the illness is the loneliness that is caused as a result of it. Because no matter how much your friends and family members try to understand, no matter how much people try to be there with you, at the end of the day, you bear it alone. And it's difficult and it's lonely. And so David HaMelech says, Ohavai v'rei'ai mineged nigi yamodu. Right? My friends and v'rei'ai and my loved ones mineged nigi yamodu. Right? They're standing away from me. There's a distance now between me and them. There's a loneliness because of it. And therefore, krovai merachok amadu. All of my krovai, all of my close confidants, they are merachok amadu. They are now far from me. They are now distanced from me. And so David HaMelech says, it's not just the illness that is getting to me, but it's the loneliness that I feel from that illness. And you and I both know that there's a difference between being alone and lonely, that you could be in a room full of people and still feel lonely, right? You could be in a populated area and still feel like there's a distance between you and the other people, that people don't get your struggles, they don't get what you were going through. And so therefore, David HaMelech uses very difficult language. He says, "Krovai mirachok amadu." It's as if people are standing away from me. And therefore, as a result, "V'inakshu mevakshe nafshi v'dorshe ra'asi dibru havos u'mirmos kol hayom yege." Right? What happens? Those who are waiting waiting for something bad to happen to David HaMelech, right? They're ready to pounce on this as a result of this. And so therefore, we come into the next stage, which is really a description of David HaMelech vis-a-vis his enemies. That because of his illness, right, those who are his enemies, those who seek harm and to speak inappropriately about him and want to deceive him, right, they are now going to rise up and take advantage of this opportunity. V'ani k'cheresh lo ashma, David HaMelech says, but I don't respond. Rather, I am like a deaf person, right? I don't even hear it. Uki leim lo yiftach piv, and I don't open my mouth. I don't speak up back to him. Ve'hi ki'ish asher lo shomea, I'm like a person who doesn't hear. Ve'ein b'piv tochachot, and he doesn't have any response, right? People are insulting him, and he doesn't start debating them. He accepts it. He accepts it, right? He shrugs his shoulders. He accepts it. Why? Ki lecha Adonai hochalti ata tane Adonai Elohai, right? Because at the end of the day, David HaMelech says, because who ultimately is my salvation? It's in you, Hashem. Ki lecha Hashem hochalti, Hashem, I'm waiting, I'm longing for you, because ata sane Adonai Elohai. Only you can answer me, and you alone can answer me. Why? Because ki amarti pen yismechuli bemot ragli alai higdilu. Because I fear, says David HaMelech, that the enemies are closing in and that they are seeking the opportunities to rejoice, right? Pen yismechu li, they are going to rejoice over me. Bimot ragli, when my leg is faltering, in my moment of weakness, alai higdilu. They are trying to raise themselves up, right? They smell my weakness and they are ready to pounce on that and to capitalize on it. Ki ani letzela nachon umachovi negdi Samid, says David HaMelech, Letzela Nachon, right? I'm on the verge of collapsing. It says in the Tzudas David, Ani Muchan V'Ragil Lios Soleya Mechuleshes Haguf V'Advarim Hamachivim Osi Hema Mezumanim Tamid Negdi Lavo Elai. David HaMelech says, I'm weak, I'm vulnerable, and as a result, they are ready to get me. They're ready to pounce on me. Okay? Pasuk. Pasuk Yitet, Ki avoni agid et ag mechatasi. He says, I'm going to acknowledge my sins. We've discussed this in the past, the importance of not just knowing about your sins, but acknowledging, verbally acknowledge your sins. Et ag mechatasi, he says, I am afraid. I'm afraid because of my sins. In other words, David HaMelech is saying, I somewhat deserve this. Ve'oivai chayim atzemu v'rabu sone sheker. And my enemies are numerous, and they are many. Umishalmi ra tachas tova, yistinuni tachas rodfi tov, right? Those who repay evil for good, they harass me for pursuing good. We'll have to see exactly what that pasuk is talking about. But it means that essentially, even though I try doing good, they're now laughing at me. And therefore he says to Hashem in the last two psukim, it is a tefillah. Al tazveni Hashem, Hashem, don't forsake me. Elohai, al tirchach mimeni Hashem, even though everyone else has distanced themselves from me. And even though I feel that loneliness, Hashem, please, you be close to me. I want to feel your closeness. Chusha lezrasi, right? Hurry up, Hashem. Let me feel your salvation. Adonai teshuasi, Hashem, because you are ultimately the Redeemer. You ultimately provide me with that sense of deliverance. And so we saw here a chapter that's very clearly about two things, two primary things. Number one is this illness that David HaMelech feels. And number two is it's this wariness, it's this fear of enemies as a result of that that pain and suffering, as a result of that illness. Who is the subject of this chapter? That is our homework now for the remainder of this class. Who is the subject of this chapter? So if we look at the Radak says very simply, he says, Ulefi da'ati, ki amizmor chibru David, that this chapter was written by David, lehit palel bo kol ish meduche bechelio uvitzaris nafsho, anyone who's going through pain, anyone who's going through an illness, this is the chapter for you. And you'll even notice that there are similarities between this chapter and another famous chapter that's said for illness, and that is chapter 6 of Tehillim. And so says the Radak, what's lahazkir? Remember, that we had that strange word at the beginning, Mizmor LaDavid lahazkir. It's a reminder. What is David HaMelech reminding us about? He's sick, he's ill, he's coming on hard times. What is the reminder? Listen to this, Radak. Lehodiacha lechol adam nidke v'nishbar shispalobo. It's a reminder that in times of distress and in times of difficulty and in times of illness, that is when we turn to Hashem and we daven. I wrote about it in my weekly message this week. You can all read it. It'll be published online shortly. But I wrote about one of my, really the most profound pieces of the Piyazetz and the Rebbe that I've ever read. He writes in his Achsharas Havreichim, which is the sequel, so to speak, to his Chovas HaTalmidim. This is for an older population. And as more gray comes into my beard, I have to learn for older people. But he says over there, he says, so many of us make a mistake. And if you're only listening to one thing this entire day, listen to this. Because I promise you it's a total game changer for you. And again, you can read about it in my weekly message. Says the Piyazetz Rebbe, we make a mistake when it comes to tefillah. We think that in order to daven, you have to purge your mind of all difficulty, anxiety, worry. Right? Get it out of my head. Clear my head, and when I have a clear mind, then I can come and daven to Hashem. Says the Piyazetz Rebbe, that is categorically wrong. He says, if you do that, what you're essentially saying is there's no correlation, there's no connection between what worries me and my davening, right? There's like the worry, and then there's davening, and if I want to daven properly, I have to block out all of the worries and all the anxieties. Says the Piyazetz Rebbe, we have it all wrong. Instead of blocking out your worries and your fears, do the exact opposite. He says, I want you to flood your mind with everything that worries you and everything that bothers you and all of your anxieties and all of the difficulties you're going through and all the illness, right? Flood your mind with it. And then you approach Hashem. Because by doing so, it's a recognition that there is one address and one address alone where you and I can turn in moments of difficulty, and that is to Avinu Shebashamayim, that is to the Ribono Shel Olam, the Almighty Himself. And so why would we want to prevent our worries? Why would we want to shield ourselves from that? No, the exact opposite. We utilize that as the catalyst for meaningful tefillah. Says the Radak, that is what lahazkir means. David HaMelech is reminding us that when you're experiencing that illness, that difficulty, the moments of challenge in your life, the suffering, right? Lahodia lechol adam. This chapter is a reminder to every single human being, Sheyit Palalbo, that our job is to daven to Hashem in those moments of time. I'll share with you a beautiful idea from Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch writes over here, now why did David HaMelech write this? It is David's desire to remember forever, even in days of happiness and prosperity, the emotions and thoughts that filled him during the sad period in his life when he penned this chapter. In other words, it's very easy to daven to Hashem when you're going through the difficulty. You know, it's a lot harder to remember Hashem when everything's going right. And so David HaMelech, says Rav Hirsch, wrote this in his darkest moment, Lahazkir, to remind him that even when things go well, and even when there's peace and prosperity and tranquility and there's affluence and all the things that we daven for, even then we can never forget Hashem, says Rav Hirsch. He says, prime among the thoughts expressed in this chapter is David HaMelech's avowal that he was bowed down not so much by the suffering caused him by the onslaught of illness in his enemies, but by the feelings of guilt, the remorseful realization that he had deserved this because of the sins that he had committed. And David HaMelech didn't want to forget it. He wanted to remember, right? Next time I'm about to do something stupid, stop and remind myself that it doesn't feel very good, that the burden of what I carry as a result of that sin, right, what it does to me, that doesn't feel good. I don't want to remember that. So that says Malbim, that says the Radak. Again, a beautiful reminder from the Radak of what tefillah is and what our relationship with Hashem should be. And that it's the greatest gift that Hashem has given us, is the ability to speak to Him. If you think about what an audacious thing we do three times a day, where we come before the Creator of the universe and we talk about everything from the ridiculous to the sublime, and He wants to hear us speak about it. That, says the Radak, is what this chapter is about. Don't squander those opportunities for meaningful tefillah. Okay. Malbim. We'll do the Malbim now. Says the Malbim, V'zehaya acher ma'isa debat sheva. That what sin are we talking about in this chapter? The sin we're talking about in this chapter is the sin of Bat Sheva. Shetala hacholi b'cheta'ab. Where David HaMelech was convinced that his illness was the result of that sickness, of that sin. Vigam oivav sasu az al raso. And his enemies rejoiced in his difficulties, in his pain, in his sorrow. Vichashvu ala machshavos. And they thought evil things about him. Vealze omer lahaskir. That is what David HaMelech wants to remind us of. Sheyizkor chet av v'yilenegdo tamid. That we should always remember our sins. That we shouldn't shy away from our failures, but rather we should embrace our failures as the catalyst for change. We've spoken about that many times. We've written about that many times, right? That, says David HaMelech, if you think about it, that's what this chapter is about. It's David HaMelech is going through challenging times. He is assuming that the challenging times are a result of this catastrophic sin that he committed, and yet instead of shying away from it, and instead of shielding himself from it, what is David HaMelech doing? He's admitting it, and he's growing from it. Says the Malbim, what do the enemies have to do with any of this? That the enemies were rejoicing about David HaMelech's misfortunes. They were saying, ha, look at you! You think you were so great, and you think you were ready for the royalty and the king, right? You're nothing. You're a nobody. You're never going to amount to anything. That, says the Malbim, is what we are talking about here. In this chapter, again, it's a very specific illness, a very specific sin. Rashi, option number three. Again, option number one was the Radak, it was an illness. Option number two is the Malbim, hones in it a little bit more and says it's the illness specifically about Sheva. Rashi reads this entirely different. Mikatza el hakatza, says Rashi. What are we talking about here? We are talking about not a person, but that this is a metaphor for Klal Yisrael in Gullus. Metaphor for the Jewish people in exile, says Rashi, laumro, bishas tzara. This is in a time of difficulty. Lahaskir tzarasam shel Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're in exile and we're experiencing anti-Semitism and persecution, this is our chapter. It's a chapter of gullus, it's a chapter of exile, where we remind Hashem of our tzaras, ukeneged kol Yisrael amru. This is written on behalf of the entire Jewish people. And so therefore, Rashi points out certain psukim. When he says, Mi neged nig'i yamadu. When he says in Pasuk 12, right, that that my friends are standing away from me, says Rashi. Osam nirim li ko'avim b'shas hanasam. Those who befriend me when it's good for them. Uksheroin she'anega ba'ilai ein omdin li b'shas dag chaki. Right? And then the second things go sour for me, they abandon me like the plague. Right? Do the Jewish people need a reminder of this? That certain of our friends throughout history, that when times get tough, sayonara, see you later, we're forgetting about the Jews and we're going to make an alliance with the next person. Right? I believe it was last week's Haftorah even, when the Navi decries the Jewish people's alliance with Mitzrayim, because he says, you think they're your friends? They're not your friends. They're a weak and feeble stick that's going to crack the moment they see a better ally, right? Be careful, says Rashi over here. Ve'ani kecheresh, right? We said I'm like a deaf person. Says Rashi, Yisrael, shomim cherpasam. The Jewish people hear themselves being disgraced. Ha'mecharpim ve'inim ashivim. Right? We don't respond to it, right? Why? Because we ultimately know that Hashem is the one who provides us with that salvation. Again, another example. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Tachas Radfi Tov. Right? Tachas Radfi Tov. It says over here, right? They harass me for pursuing good. Why do our enemies hate us so much, says Rashi? Why do our enemies always want to get us? What bothers them so much about us? What's the source of antisemitism, says Rashi? Bishvil she'anachnu dveikim b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu mitzvosav. There's one reason and one reason only. It's because they hate the fact that we connect ourselves with Hashem and His mitzvos, right? That is the source of anti-Semitism, is that we pursue a higher calling, that we believe that this world isn't the be-all and end-all, that we believe that we have the formula for eternality, and they hate us for it. They hate us for it, says Rashi. And so Rashi reads this entire chapter of Tehillim, not about a person and not about a specific illness, but rather about the Jewish people as a whole. What is the illness here? The illness is the illness of exile. We should never forget that in exile, we are not perfect, we are not complete, we are not whole, but rather we are sick as a people. And our healing will only come with the Geula Shlema, with the ultimate redemption. The Das Mikra, that was option number, I think I'm up to three, right? The Das Mikra says, who is this person, who is the person we're talking about here? He says, "Efshar she'acholim hamisbalim b'mizmor tehillim heim achasidim yirei Hashem." That these are the yirei Hashem, and who are the enemies? Right, that when the yirei Hashem gets sick, that when you see a righteous person gets a diagnosis or dies young or whatever the case might be, right? What happens? Ve'oivehem, the enemies. In other words, those who decry God and godliness and make fun of religion. Heim harishayim, they're wicked. Sheinam yirei Hashem, they are not the fears of God. Ukshe harishayim shomim sheyarei Hashem chole. When the enemies hear that a righteous person got sick, right? Heim smechim umecharpim umegadfim es yirei Hashem. They laugh at him and they say to him, ha! What did all of your righteousness get you? Was it all worth it? You spend a life devoted to God and His mitzvos, right? What did it get you? And so they laugh at us. They question God as a result of that suffering. And so I gave you four suggestions of who this chapter of Tehillim is really referring to. I'll actually say it was three and a half, right? Option number one was the Radak / Malbim, where the Radak says we're talking about a sick person and that this is a reminder that we have to dive into Hashem in moments of illness. The Malbim says this is a very specific illness, and that is the sin of David and Bathsheba. And David HaMelech is tormented because he knows that it's his fault. And yet you have to credit David for acknowledging the sin, for coming face to face for it, for not shying away from it. You have the Rashi who says that this is not talking about a sin of a person. This is not talking about the illness of a person. But rather what we're talking about is the Jewish people as a whole. This is referring to Klal Yisrael. The enemies are obviously our enemies. And the illness here is an illness of galus. It's an illness of exile. It's a reminder that we are not complete and whole so long as we are not in our homeland altogether united and unified. And lastly, the Das Mikra, who says beautifully, this is the Yirei Hashem. It's a battle between religion, that we believe in Hashem, we put our hope in Hashem, and sometimes it doesn't work out the way that we want. Sometimes our tefillos aren't answered, and sometimes very bad things happen to very good people. Think about even COVID, how many tzaddikim Gaone Olam died as a result of COVID. And so I'm sure there are those who laughed at it and said, ah, you see, right? They put all their faith in God. They devoted themselves to this ancient, archaic religion. What did it get them? And so as a result of seeing the suffering of the righteous, they question God and they laugh at us and they scoff at us. Says the Das Mikra, that is what we are talking about here. It's a lamenting the fact, Hashem, why are you allowing this to happen? Why are you allowing those to look at our suffering and to rise up as a result of it? And so therefore we come at the end and we say, no, Hashem, Chusha l'ezrasi. Chusha here means Maher l'azorli. Hashem, hurry up. What are you waiting for? Right? Adonai teshuasi, because ultimately, who is my salvation? None other than you, Hashem himself. And so again, this is a tefillah, a beautiful tefillah if you know anyone sick. If you yourself is going through an illness, whether a physical illness, an illness that is unseen, right? Psychological challenges, illness can come in many different forms, shapes, and sizes, as we know all too well in our day and age. But this chapter is ultimately, as the Radak points out, a reminder to us to not squander those opportunities, but to use them as a mechanism, as a catalyst for meaningful tefillah to Hashem and for a meaningful relationship to Hashem. It's also a tefillah about not shying away from our shortcomings and our failures and our sins, but rather to embrace them as a pathway to a relationship with Hashem. Someone posted, my article last week was posted on ish.com. Someone over there in the comments said a beautiful thing. They said, my mess is my message. Right? That the word message contains within the word mess, that my mess becomes my message, which I thought was really beautiful. Right? That the messes of our lives, sometimes the difficulties, the most challenging moments, that becomes the message. That becomes our path forward. That is what you and I have to harness as that catalyst to that better relationship with Hashem, that our mess should always become our message. And with that, I want to wish everyone a beautiful day, a good and Erev Shabbos. It's never too early. We're already in Erev Shabbos zone. You can already get the mitzvos for preparing for Shabbos. And again, just a reminder, public service announcement, we are not going to have class next week, but Amir Tzashem will continue in our study of Tehillim. I know I found this chapter very inspirational. I hope you did as well. Everyone have a wonderful week.